Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We we have a very special focused show today. I thought about contacting Alex Newman, and I mentioned that we were going to have an interview with him. So I kind of reached out to him because I had had, obviously we've interviewed him before and we've had some conversations and so forth. And we're still working out this Republic Review and Rodeo stuff, and hopefully I can get a definitive from Alex regarding his position with this, because we really need to get the federal government out of all things it has no business. We really need to get full compliance to the Constitution. Everybody's problem, regardless of what your particular focus is, if your focus is, let's say, abortion, education, health care, Western lands or state lands, it really doesn't matter. They're all tied together. They're all based and they're all founded on unconstitutional doctrines. Are you a sovereign citizen? Are you somebody that believes in limited government? The only way to get back to the, let's just say the inferior, the child government, getting the federal government, getting the genie back into the bottle, the only way to do that is through Republic Review. There is really no other process that will actually force full compliance. And it's just a matter of the states basically saying, get back in that bottle. They're the ones with the bottle. They're the ones that contain it. It's not one state that contains that bottle. You have to have a majority of the states holding out the bottle, and then you have the genie force to get that genie back in the bottle. You have the constitutional force to get that government back into compliance. And so we wanted to kind of provide a special focus regarding education, because I know I ranted on this quite a bit. And the facts are, there is a whole bunch of people that are a part of your child's life that do not care one bit, really, what happens to that child. I mean, they may have a lot of lip service, but ask yourself this one thing. You're an adult. How many teachers have maintained contact and have had a positive, a wholesome, righteous, positive influence in your life? Some of you, probably zero. Maybe a very few, one or two. But most people, the majority of your teachers are just people that are stamping the papers as you went through school. And that's the same thing. As a matter of fact, it's no longer stamping the papers. It is making sure the agenda is stamped into your kids' heads. And there is all sorts of evidence that proves this. And this is why we bring in subject matter experts like Alex Newman to bring this type of content forward. One of the things that I want to, well, before I get into anything else, let me just say this. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that gives you the evidence-based solutions to getting that genie back in the bottle. Are you a part of the problem or a part of the solution? Only you can answer that question. And only you can determine whether you really want to get on board. Boy, I love it when a conservative entertainer, because somehow I'm on Glenn Beck's emails, and boy, he wants me to give him some money so that we can help people. You know, the best help that we could give everybody is getting government out of our lives. The best charity that we could all give each other is getting government out of the charity business, getting government back into the roles, responsibilities, and powers that are enumerated in that Constitution. I even made a comment to a South Dakota legislator who was talking about trying to work out legislation and a deal so that they could sell South Dakota meat across state lines, stuff that's legal in the South Dakota, but they can't sell it across state lines because the federal government won't let them. Where in the Constitution does the federal government have that kind of authority? They don't. And when it comes down to the Commerce Clause, making commerce, to regulate commerce, really the use of regulate meant to put in order back in those days. And more importantly, the intent of the federal government was just to play referee between states, not to actually dictate and create a mercantile system. We're supposed to have a free system, not a mercantile system where the government can dictate who can sell where, how far you can sell, what you can do. I mean, they are so involved in commerce to the nth degree that it's just ridiculous. So anyway, it's not about that, but it's about getting the federal government into compliance. And education is one of the biggest problems we're facing today. So with that, let me just get back on track here. There's all sorts of other things I want to say, but this is a short show. We're going to have just a couple more minutes, then we'll go into our interview with Alex Newman, and then we'll come back and I'll do a kind of a wrap up. And I want to talk about a few more things. But one of the things I wanted to say is if you understand the influence that these teachers have, and how, if do you have any kids at the high school age? Have you got any kids at that challenging adult stage? Have you noticed whether your child is in, you know, at that point, in that stage or in that phase of life where they no longer have any respect for you? Are they at that point where you're no longer the person they trust and confide? How is this? You explain this to me. How is it that the person and or the people, mom and dad, that love this child more than anybody else in the whole wide world, and there's no better evidence to prove that than empirical data, because when it comes down to it, nobody's life means more to that individual, or I should say outside that one person's life, means more than those parents, than probably other than your spouse and or family. Family, it's all about family, right? And so how is it that the kids at that stage finally get to this epiphany that their parents are the worst people in their lives? Are your kids there? If your kids have reached that point, and if your kids are already listening to other adults instead of you, let's say, you know, you tell them to do something and they, you know, they won't do it, or they'll argue with you and so forth. But when somebody else points out something that, you know, this is important, and they're exact same thing that you said, and they go, wow, so-and-so said this. This happens in marriage too. I mean, we take each other for granted. We don't really listen to each other. And so these things do happen, but when it happens with a child, there's something else that's going on. It's no longer taking each other for granted. They're finally in this stage of life when they believe that their teacher cares more about them and knows more about them than you do. Why not? They're engaged with these teachers, you know, hours every week, you know, more than probably you. And they develop this rapport, and they may see them in several classes. And I'm here to tell you that it's a losing battle. And we're going to talk when we come back around after this interview. We're going to talk about ideas that you can actually try so that you can get engaged or get re-engaged in your child's life and take advantage of this unattested access that you may have with your children at this point in time. Use government and this blessing in your favor. We'll be right back with our interview with Alex Newman right after these two promos. Please stay tuned. Thank you so much.
you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
All right, folks, we have Alex Newman back on the line. The last time we spoke, I believe it was last year, right before you went out on your, I'll just call it your whirlwind national tour on education. And so is that not correct?
I believe it was, yeah. That was a lot of fun, and thank you for having me on again. It's great to be with you, GR.
No problem. What I wanted to do, because I haven't done this yet because of this, the stay home and the suspension of our constitutional liberties, and I'm not sure if you read that. I know you're really busy, but I did send you an article regarding martial law in the 21st century that kind of builds off of that other article that I sent you. But bottom line is we have our constitutional rights that have been unconstitutionally suspended. And so I wanted to do a special episode regarding ranting on this concept of education. And hopefully parents are recognizing the privilege and opportunity that they have. It's kind of like a gift horse. So I just wanted to get you as a subject matter expert to pipe in. How is this affecting what you have been doing? You guys are offering, I believe, a curriculum. Is that not correct?
Well, in fact, I actually work with a school. It's called Freedom Project Academy. Fully accredited, but it's online. So it's a K-12 school based on biblical principles and classical education. So, children really do get a thorough proper education along the lines of, what the founding fathers would have gotten. They'll learn logic and philosophy and rhetoric and economics and Latin and, all these very important disciplines that have just been completely, not just neglected, but completely removed from the curricula of government schools. And so that's one of the, people say, well, you talk about all these problems, but what about solutions? Well, we're offering solutions too. And it, by no means is this the only option. There are many online schools now. In fact, I'm a huge proponent of homeschooling. And, we do have that option available if you want to know more, fpeusa.org. And the latest special report we just did in the New American, our cover story, which will be arriving in people's mailboxes this week and next, is a cover story about how the coronavirus is impacting homeschooling. And right in that cover story package, we have another one about the sex education situation and then one about Freedom Project Academy. So if people want to learn more, they can get a copy of that. And, it's one alternative for parents who at this point should be scrambling for the exits from the public school system.
Well, one would think so, but I think sometimes people even need a greater tragedy to force the type of change that they need. And this is probably not that level of tragedy to them. It's just an inconvenience. And just because that's how, unfortunately, there's too many parents out there that have that mind model. But the really the best solution and the one size fits all solution is shutting down national education completely and putting it back into the hands at the local level and getting all the bureaucrats and all of those who are driving agendas such as Common Core and the rest of this crap into the education system, get that completely purged out, you just void it out completely. as you know, plan.
It's a huge part of the solution. I couldn't agree with you more, GR. We should have never created a U.S. Department of Education. And in fact, I would even go one step further, GR. I would say it was a mistake for us to allow the government to get involved in education in the first place. For hundreds of years in America, we had essentially no government role in education whatsoever. The closest thing we ever got to government involvement in education was in the Puritan, the kind of Bible colony where the Puritans and the Pilgrims arrived. They passed a law, first education law ever passed in North America, called the Old Deluder Satan Act. And, it wasn't like, hey, we're going to set up this massive government school system and brainwash all your kids. It was just a, pretty simple law. They said that Old Deluder Satan, one of his chief projects is to deny men knowledge of the scriptures. And remember, they were fleeing religious persecution. They were fleeing people who wanted to burn them at the stake for translating the Bible into, common languages that normal people could understand. And so they just said very simply, hey, all people in this colony should know how to read, so that they can read their Bible, so that Satan can't deceive them. It wasn't like, hey, let's set up a massive bureaucracy and brainwash all the kids to believe what we want them to believe. Nothing of the sort. And we really didn't get a government, any significant government role in education until about the mid-1800s with Horace Mann. So we went hundreds of years with almost no role in terms of government in education whatsoever, and we were by far the best educated people on planet Earth. We had literacy rates that were significantly higher than we have today. And when you look back at the history of the people who thought government involvement in education was a good idea, what you'll find is that almost to a man, all of the key people were interested not in actually educating children, not in teaching them how to think. They were educated, they were interested, in moving America toward a utopian collectivist ideal. And they got more and more extreme as time went on. So Horace Mann rejected the Bible. He was a socialist. He wanted public education to, quote, equalize all men. He was a big proponent of quackery. Then 50 years later, we had John Dewey, an actual communist. Right? This is a guy who went to the Soviet Union, which was ruled by that mass murdering gangster Lenin at the time, and just was gushing about how great the public schools were because they were instilling a collectivistic mentality into the children. That's what he wanted here in America. And, you just trace down the line and you see that the people who created this system of government education were not interested in education. They were interested in indoctrinating and dumbing down our people. They've been tremendously successful. And so, to get back to the original point, I would say we really don't need government involvement in education, period.
Well, so if I remember correctly, there was an indirect involvement with the colonies because the states actually had established churches, and the churches were getting tax money to be able to perform, well, I'll just call it compassionate services. And so there was this symbiotic relationship between state government and the state church to manage education and health care and those types of compassionate services because they didn't want government to have their hands in that. And so that's how we got higher education for the most part. They didn't have elementary type of school, which is 0 to 12. They just had higher education, such as Princeton and so forth. And as you look at all the higher education institutions, they were ran by churches, even Harvard.
Yep, you're exactly right, GR. And when you look back at the history of American education, it's so fascinating. In the colonies, even before we were actually a nation, you had this enormous diversity of educational options. And so, a lot of the churches were running schools. And in fact, a lot of the churches would allow poor children to attend completely free, right? I mean, this was an education supported by the church. You're also right about the established churches. And this is one of the things that's so grotesque about where we are today. They said the First Amendment prohibits any prayer or any Bible reading in a school. If the people who wrote the First Amendment knew that one day it would be abused so disgustingly, they would have burned down this whole place rather than establish that. When they wrote the First Amendment, about half of the states already had established churches. So very clearly, they did not intend to prohibit any kind of prayer or any kind of Bible reading in education or even matters of the state. They just didn't want the federal government dictating to the states or creating a national religion or anything like that. But you're right, the churches did play a huge role in educating the American people. And you're also right about, the typical young American was primarily educated at home. You know, they learned how to read from their parents. Their parents would go to the general store and they'd get a copy of, Noah Webster's Blueback Speller or, the New England Primer or whatever it was, any reading tool to teach their children to read. And then mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and older siblings and aunts and uncles taught the children how to read. And only later did they go on to any kind of formal schooling, typically a private school either run by an entrepreneur or a church school. And then later, if they wanted to, they would go on to college. And you're right, all the big colleges were established as Christian institutions. That includes Harvard, that includes Princeton, that includes Yale. All the prestigious universities that you could probably think of that were founded prior to like 1900 were actually set up as Christian institutions, primarily to train up ministers of the gospel and statesmen. And instead, they have now turned into little mini North Koreas, little indoctrination factories, churning out anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-freedom social justice warriors. We've turned education completely upside down, and the consequences of this are going to be deadly, not just for our freedoms, but even for our republic.
Yeah, so here's a little irony that you probably appreciate, because at the same, or shortly after the Department of Hugh was created, right? The health, education, and welfare. And this is when big government drove the stake in the ground and said, we own this now. And that was under Eisenhower's administration. And so the irony is that as Eisenhower was winding down his administration, he warned the public that there was this evil thing called the military-industrial complex, and you need to keep your eyes on that. And the whole time, the libertarian movement and everybody else has been focused on the military-industrial complex. What he instituted, the health, education, and welfare industries in government, were actually far more insidious. And if you look at them today, I mean, the military-industrial complex pales in budget compared to those three departments, and actually pales, I believe, in comparison to the health department all on its own.
You're right. Yep. We spend now about $1 trillion tax dollars every year in this country, supposedly on educating the children, but really quite the opposite. And, I'll be the first to tell you that the military-industrial complex is a real thing, and it's dangerous, and it ought to be kept in check. It's not to say we don't need a military. It's not to say we don't need a Navy or an Air Force or, a well-armed and well-regulated militia. But and even weapons contractors. Weapons contractors can perform a valuable function. But far more dangerous than the military-industrial complex has been the so-called educational industrial complex, which now we're many generations into this extreme dumbing down of our people, and you can prove all this objectively, right? This isn't just speculation. You can look at the data. SAT scores, for example. If you look at the SAT scores, what you find is that the smart Americans of today are dumber than the dumb Americans back in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
I'd have to keep recentering the SAT test to conceal the enormous drop in scores that would be so obvious if they didn't keep adjusting the scores to reflect kind of the new median, the new average. So it's a very, very dangerous situation we're in now. I actually don't know if it's ever going to be possible to recover from this absent some sort of miracle or some sort of divine intervention. We're so many generations into this now that even our grandparents don't recognize a lot of the indoctrination that's taken place. Their minds were shaped by this same system. Even back in the 1950s,
yes.
Congress did an investigation into these tax-exempt foundations. Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie were the two big ones that were involved in education. Of course, Carnegie was run by Alger Hiss, the Soviet agent. And what they found, this is what they concluded in their report, that these foundations had hijacked the educational system and that there had already been a revolution in the United States. They talked about the revolution as being in the past tense, and they said it never would have been possible if these people hadn't seized control of the educational system and brainwashed the American people. And, we think of the 40s as the good old days. Well, Congress said there was a revolution going on, and that these foundations and the education system were promoting oligarchical collectivism and socialism, trying to undermine the concepts that are foundational to our freedom and our republic. So, this has been going on for a long time, GR, and I think the one solution that every parent can implement right this moment is to get your children out of the system right now.
I agree. That's the one thing that we can do at an individual level. Obviously, Republic Review would actually shut that down along with everything else, but that's the huge sledgehammer that's going to kill the elephant. The point, though, even though the military-industrial complex is a bad thing because they've been using wars actually since the World War II, it's been documented that the Korean War, the Vietnamese War, and all these other wars were basically set. The stages were set in advance to help send American troops into war and conflict so that the Russian military-industrial complex could build itself so Russia could economically maintain viability. And that's, when you look at that, even though on the face, on the facade, America and the Americans did find that the domino theory was a real theory. And as a matter of fact, if you look today, what country doesn't have good streaks and marbling of communism within it? I mean, even America. So we've all been falling, but it, the domino theory at that point in time was more of a military force type of, you know, revolution and takeover. And that's why we injected ourselves into both Korea and Vietnam. But there's this new concept, which is another domino theory of Islam spreading throughout the world, which has been another fear that we've used this. But my point back to the military-industrial complex is at least that's in the Constitution. At least we do have a mechanism that says that we're supposed to provide, you know, this national security and so forth. And so whether we like it or not, there's things that we can do to kind of pull back those powers, because even with Republic Review, the ability for the U.S. to declare war is still right there in the Constitution. The standing army, in that article that you've read, the standing army and the militia and all of that will have to be fixed, but because that's federal enforcement. But bottom line, this hue and most every other department, EPA and all these types of things that they've created as a part of this huge agenda is all unconstitutional. And they've got us actually, or they've got too many Americans just, you know, hook, line and sinker buying into this kind of crap. Anywho, so yeah,
it's true. And the way they did it, GR, was by indoctrinating the children in the public school system.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
If you do just an informal survey, you know, go out and walk down your block and knock on all your neighbors' doors and ask them about the Constitution, the overwhelming majority are completely clueless. And
right.
Then they've done surveys on this. Most Americans don't have any idea what's in the First Amendment. Most Americans don't have, they're so ignorant. Most Americans, when you actually tell them, you know, the Marxist slogan, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs, more than 50% in a survey said that was in the U.S. Constitution. That just shows you how dumbed down, how ignorant our people have become. And anybody who thinks that this was an accident, that this was just some sort of big mistake, unfortunately, is just completely clueless. It is, you know, beyond hope. This was so obviously deliberate. The evidence is so overwhelming that you literally have to bury your head in the sand to avoid confronting it. And, you know, again, it's going to be the death of our freedom and our republic if we don't start taking this very seriously.
Right, right. So the average person that has a marginal level of understanding the Constitution really, and this will surprise you, but you may know this, really only understands the Bill of Rights. They do not understand the seven articles, but they understand the Bill of Rights and some of the amendments they don't understand. But the Bill of Rights seems to be the Constitution to everybody. And if you're aware of the ratification debates, the real issue between the ratification of the Constitution was the fact that it didn't have a Bill of Rights, but it still got ratified without it, which has helped me to kind of make my, you know, determination that the Bill of Rights has actually been more harmful to America, because we're only concerned about the negative powers that government can do instead of the limited and defined powers that they can only do. And so I did find a saving grace, and there is a saving grace in the Bill of Rights, and that was because of the 14th Amendment and the states of the Civil War, because it was the southern states that started literally abridging the privileges and immunities. So the 14th Amendment applied the Bill of Rights on the individual privileges and immunities protections to all the states. Now, I know there's people out there that don't buy into the incorporation, you know, portion of the 14th Amendment, but I'm here to tell you that they can't, they don't have a leg to stand on in the arguments for the selling of that 14th Amendment and, or even the application and enforcement, because federal troops, they were all unconstitutional federal troops because that was a standing army and they weren't supposed to have it, but they went into the South and they forced those laws to go away in disarming the blacks or the freemen and disarming or allowing them to have religious worship and allowing them to have assembly and those individual privileges that they were being denied as the Southern states were creating these laws. So anyway, so what is it? What I wanted to do was I wanted to find out what your plan is for this year. How are you going to strike while the iron is hot?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked. Thank you. And so one of the things we're going to keep doing is working to get our special issue out from last year. In early 2019, we published Rescuing Our Children. It was an entire issue of the New American Magazine dedicated exclusively to this education issue. We've now released a second edition about a month ago, which is a little bit expanded. It's got a couple of extra articles and some new information in there. So we have kind of an overview of the problem, tying everything together, showing people that, you know, unless we address education, it's not just our children and our families that are going to be destroyed. It's everything, right? Our freedom, our constitution, our republic, all of it is going down the drain. Our churches, you're going to lose it all. We give an overview of how the government schools are sexualizing the children. We have one on how the children are being dumbed down deliberately. We have one on how the history of this, how we went from an incredible educational system we talked about earlier to this dumbed-down monstrosity that we have today. We document that we are now moving not just, the nationalization of education has already come and gone. We're now moving very quickly toward the globalization of education. UNESCO has what they call the World Core Curriculum, actually created by an occultist at the United Nations, Assistant Secretary General Robert Mueller. He actually admitted in the foreword to the teacher's manual of this World Core Curriculum that it was based on the teachings of Alice Bailey. And, without going too deep down that rabbit hole, I'll tell you that Alice Bailey was the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. Okay, that should kind of give you a hint about where these people are coming from. This is now our reality, right? Bill Gates, who put $2 billion behind Common Core, 6 years before he started that, had actually signed a deal with UNESCO to globalize education, to create global standards, global curricula, and so on. And if you ask them, they will openly tell you that Common Core is aligned with the global standards that are now emerging. So that's the whole kind of first maybe 60% of the magazine. And then the next 40% of the magazine deals with the solution. So we talk about, going back to a classical education, having a God-centered education. Homeschooling is one really good option. We have an article on private schools. There's a lot of great private schools out there, and then there's a lot of terrible ones. And so we just urge parents, if they're going to choose a private school instead of homeschooling, do your due diligence first. Check it out. See what they're teaching. See what resources they use. See what their philosophy of education is, what their worldview is. We have something on the Freedom Project in there. And so our second edition now, our goal is still to get this out to 1 million Americans. And, we figure if we get it out to 1 million, it'll be read by significantly more than that. And we think that if we can start this exodus, millions of children leaving the public school system, we have a real chance at turning this around, building, a solid, dedicated core of well-educated, well-informed, God-fearing, liberty-loving, patriotic Americans that can hold the line and really help us to perpetuate our freedom and our constitutional system of government into the future. And I know, you're out there thinking, that sounds like a simple enough task. Yeah, right. I realize this is a Herculean effort. It's going to take help from many, many people, and I think divine assistance as well. But, hey, crazier things have happened, and the stakes are so high that, we don't have another choice. I don't see any other way around this. If they dumb down, indoctrinate, and sexualize our kids, kiss it all goodbye. It's gone. It's over. We might as well, go hand in our guns and march ourselves into the camps because, we are going to lose everything that we hold dear. So that's kind of the central element of our plan, if you will, GR. And if people want to get a copy of that or get 100 to share with all your friends and your pastor and your neighbors, go to thenewamerican.com /rescuingourchildren. And so you can get it there in PDF, or you can get the print copy. You can get them, you know, bulk discount if you get 100 or 1,000. And we've got a lot of people across the country doing that. Coronavirus has kind of slowed down our efforts on that front, but we're taking advantage of this too. We've already talked to a lot of parents who either tried out homeschooling and they're like, hey, this is fun and we can do it and we're going to keep doing it. And then we've talked to other parents. You know, the government schools are now trying to turn your home into like a little mini government school. They want to conscript the parents and do government school at home. And what's happening is parents who haven't paid attention to what's going on in the schools are now suddenly seeing. And they're saying, oh, my goodness. We just talked to a mother the other day. You're inviting my middle school child to participate in an LGBTQ plus whatever hangout with grown homosexual men? Excuse me? And so there's a lot of parents now who are saying when the schools open back up, if they do, they will open back up without my children. And this is a very, very encouraging sign, and we're hoping to seize this crisis and really make a move right now. This is a historic opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to liberate millions of children permanently from the government's indoctrination system. So we don't want this to go to waste.
Well, that actually is very good news, but... You mentioned an acronym, UNSCO, and I believe that's the UN Education what?
It's UNESCO, the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization.
Okay, there we go. Because you just threw that out there, and I didn't know what it was, but I knew it had something to do with the globalists. And so,
yeah, my apologies. I get so wrapped up in this that I forget that other people don't live and breathe this stuff. So yeah, thank you for pointing that out. The UNESCO is the UN, basically global ministry of education.
Okay. The other thing is you've given me some links, and if you can email me those, I will get this posted tomorrow when we actually air this, because I'll be airing this show tomorrow. So I'd like to have those links out there that you've already provided, and any other links that you think are really important for people to, you know, come get informed, get content, or what have you, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. I'll put them in an email for you right now. Yes, I'm trying to think. So the links will be on the new cover story that we just did that just went to press, and actually we have that one online already. And I'll send you the link for people who want to order that special report. And is there anything else that I...
Whatever you want to send me,
the globalization of the education.
Sure, too, so. That'd be great. Whatever you want to send me, I'm okay. I have no problem putting that out there so that people can, you know, go to different organizations and so forth. Nobody's competing with me on Republic Review. So one other thing I just wanted to do, and here's my little crumb. I know you liked my article regarding what is the real problem, pointing to standing armies and federal enforcement. Did you get a chance to look at martial law in the 21st century?
Is that different from the one about the Second Amendment?
Yes. So the one about the Second Amendment technically the one about the Second Amendment wasn't really about the Second Amendment. It was about militia, and the whole reason behind the Second Amendment wasn't the right to bear arms, but our responsibility, our citizens' responsibility to enforce the Constitution. And so how far we've wandered from that paradigm of enforcing the Constitution as a militia to now we just are clinging to our rights to bear arms. We've almost lost this war in the constitutional space. We've practically lost the war. So the next article I sent you, and you may want to read it, it talks about the academic standing, because every single state that has violated the constitutional rights. So there is a constitutional mechanism for the states to actually declare martial law. And in that article that I sent you, I lay out the parameters that were laid out in the ratification debates for martial law to be declared by the federal government or even states. And it is all dependent on the militia. And you'll find this and go, wow, just because they've completely gotten rid of the militia, they now no longer have the ability to declare martial law, because the whole design of the Constitution, again, is for the citizens to enforce constitutional laws or enforce and execute the laws of the Union, as the Constitution states. That was the beauty of this. That was, you know, there are so many different checks and balances that we have within the Constitution, and just another layer of checks and balances that the citizens have to enforce or execute the laws of the union. So if by chance the federal government passed a law that was unconstitutional, it would be the militia that would have to go out and, you know, and they would think, oh, I got to hold a gun to my family's head over this. No way. This isn't even constitutional. And when you
sent that to me already, huh?
Yeah. So that was the, if you boil down that one article that I sent you last fall, and then the one I sent you a couple of weeks ago, I sent it to, I think, you and G. Edward Griffin.
Oh, I see it here. Yeah. And martial law.
In the 21st century. Right. And so if you
opened the email.
It's okay. You're busy. If you go back and read that first one, what is the real problem? And you read this one, because this one just is a follow-up to that. So not only is the militia so integral in the enforcement, because, you know, I ask people all the time, you know, clearly the federal government has the ability to tax us. It's in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. And as well as the 16th Amendment to personally tax the people. So they have this constitutional power. Who is it that, and this is the question, it's a trick question, and I always get everybody on this, who is supposed to enforce tax laws? And they say the IRS. And I go, no, the militia. And they go, what? And I go, well, when they had the first tax on the whiskey taxes, or I should say the distilled liquor taxes, they had this whiskey rebellion. Who did the federal government use? They followed the Constitution and they used the militia to go out and enforce that law that those people had to pay the tax. And there's never been a change to the Constitution to allow the federal government to enforce their draconian laws or any laws that they want to make up. It's always been in the hands of the militia. It's never changed. It's just that we have been completely dumbed down, and that happened before the Civil War. They started dumbed down into marginalizing the militia. And as a matter of fact, if you read this article, you'll read a citation from George Mason of how they could marginalize the militia and get rid of it, and how they would institute standing armies. It's really an eye opener. So anyway, I would love to get your feedback on that one as well.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'll take a look as soon as I can. I've got it open now, and
okay, great.
I will take a look at it.
Awesome. I know I've encroached on enough of your time. I truly appreciate you taking the time. When you do have something that's moving forward, by all means, just let me know, and we will make it available for the audience to hear and get engaged. So, again, don't forget to send me those links, and, again, thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you very much, GR. I really appreciate it, and I sent you the links already, and so hopefully we'll be in touch soon.
Awesome. Have a great day,
right,
Alex.
Take care. You too. Thank you.
Bye now. And now you can see why it is so nice to be able to have a subject matter expert able to come on and be able to talk about these types of things that I talk about as well, and kind of reinforces those things that I've been asserting. So anyway, with that, we will be right back after this promo. And we'll be able to close on what you can do and how you can take advantage of this time, extra time you have with your family and your kids. So we will be right back after this promo. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So one thing you want to do, if you have a child, if you have a teen, an adolescent, or what have you, and your child is disrespectful, I mean, they're just completely sour to you, then somehow I'd highly recommend you videotape set up a circumstance, and don't go overboard, but just set up a circumstance where you've tried to have a conversation with them about something that you know they're just going to let into you. Then what you do, and you actually kind of work this out with somebody else, another adult, somebody that they don't even know, a real stranger, but a good friend of yours, maybe a work friend, somebody outside of the home that really hasn't met the kids or never really engaged with the kids. And hopefully that person really understands some of the facts so that you can talk about a subject such as the education system and how the communism is taken over and communist ideologies and so forth, whether it be evolution. Just help somebody, come in with facts that there's probably a good likelihood that that kid doesn't know because they've only been indoctrinated into what they've been told. And so regarding evolution, because most kids don't even know about the Miller-Ulrich experiment. So coach your friend about the Miller-Ulrich experiment and prove how the Miller-Ulrich experiment failed to prove that the evolution could exist and actually prove that there was no way we could have evolved. I mean, there is no way the software, the DNA, the programming in life, both plant life and human life, or I should say mammal, fish, and biological life, plant life and biological life. And so have them then come in and have that same conversation, except videotape it so that the kid doesn't know, and watch how the kid will actually sit there, I didn't know that, and how they actually tried to do, and show, if you can, show this video of your kid to this friend that's going to do this, so they can almost use the exact same words, so that when the kid actually starts, going, oh, I didn't know that, and you're not saying anything, you don't even jump in and don't respond and point your finger, aha, or anything like that. Don't do that. But what you do is now you wait for that person to leave, because you don't want to, nobody likes to be caught, and nobody likes to be chastised in front of anybody. A stranger, it doesn't matter. In front of the family, it doesn't matter. Nobody likes to be chastised in public. So this is a time when, you one-on-one, you sit down with the child and go, now look, I'm not sure if you know this, but I happen to record two separate conversations. Let me play them for you. And the kid will look and go, hey, you're spying on me? I'm proving a point. I'm proving a point why you're attacking me and why you have such a closed-minded, myopic vision. Use words that they don't understand because they think they know everything anyway, right? So use myopic. What does that mean? Well, you're supposed to know everything. Anyway, what you do is you show that video to your child, and they can actually hear the exact same words practically. And how by them being receptive, they were able to receive the other information regarding the Miller-Ulrich experiment, or other type of things that they were just too closed off to even listen to you, and prove that how did your child get into the situation where they hate you? Where did they learn this? It's not anything. Was there anything that you did? Now, if you got blood on your hands, maybe time to come forward and say, I'm sorry I spanked you. I'm sorry I love you so much. I'm sorry that I've cared so much to try to guard you from the types of downfalls that you could engage and experience in your life that – would lead you utterly into moral destruction. What you do is from this point, now you've actually proven that your child has been taught, has been indoctrinated into hating you, and get them to come out of their shell and get them to realize that there's nobody in the world, when they're done with high school, when they're done with college, there is nobody that is going to be more integral in their life than you. When they have kids, when they start their family, when they start doing things that adults do that they don't even think. I remember my son said, I'm not going to have a family. I'm not going to have kids. I'm not going to do the same stupid things that you did. And so guess what? I didn't necessarily, beat him over the head with the same words. But, there's time sometimes presents great opportunities as learning moments and other points in time. And, there's those out there, my son, my kids, your kids, that still have their comeuppance. They're still kind of learning that, you know what? I don't know it all. And I'm surprised at how little and how much I don't know. That's when you actually, that's when the human becomes pliable again. I have seen people that have been know-it-alls throughout their entire life. And there's just no teaching them. They're just, they're going to be on the right side. And there's nothing you can talk to them about. There's no way you can get them to open their eyes. What do? Yeah, you kind of let them be and you kind of let them become victims of their own biases. But anyway, take advantage of this precious time that you have with your kids. Take advantage. Take them camping. Get them unplugged. Go somewhere where you can actually be unplugged and disconnected and turn off the devices and let it become mano a mano, man and wife, husband and wife, kids and so forth, to where you can actually start engaging as a family in all the things you do that day. Take advantage of this time. Now, I know some of you can't, you got to stay at home, but you may live close to a state that's kind of open and be able to go to the park or camping or what have you. Take advantage of this time. If you are in a lockdown, what's it cost? It costs you gas and food. Go on that trip. Try to save your family and use this time to get your kids out of school. Figure out who in your household can actually, take over the responsibilities. If it's the husband, because, he's at that point in his career, or if it's the wife or what have you, figure out who can do it, or maybe both of you can do it. Both of you can take on, it's that important. It is that important. Your kids are being taught evil curriculum that will get them fully engaged and hooked on Luciferianism and godlessness. Anyway, and those aren't my words. Those are Alex's words. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.